In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It may seem a strange question to us. How many times must I forgive my brother? As many as 7 times? Well, you probably thought to yourself in the past, you know, I've got this person, and they keep doing stuff, and I keep forgiving them. Is there a time where I can just say, no, I'm not going to forgive you anymore, because you just keep pushing it? Well, the human condition doesn't change over time. Human beings are human beings, whether they're here in America or in ancient Israel, whether it's the year 2017 or 2017 BC. You know, people will offend one another and they will seek forgiveness. And then we have to think, is there a limit to our forgiveness? And when Peter says as many as 7 times, he's talking about the various opinions of the rabbis. There were some of the rabbis who said, you know, you only have to forgive once, or you don't have to forgive at all. Or some of the more generous rabbis would say 7 times. You must forgive 7 times. When number 8 comes along, boom, it's over. And so when Jesus says 77 times, or in a different version of the gospel, 70 times 7 times, it probably knocked Peter for a loop, that many times. Now, it's important that we remember that God does not expect us, nor does he want us, to carry around a little pad of paper and make hash marks each time we forgive someone with the person's name right above. And you go, oh, 76 times, one more time, and this guy is toast. You know, not like that. This is a Semitic way of saying as many times as is necessary. And then he proceeds to say why we should forgive one another. And it is because God forgives us as many times as necessary. And he does this by telling a parable. And of course, in the parables, the king is always God. And then we have the king is settling accounts with his servants because the king would lend them money. And then eventually he wants his money back. And there's this one servant, he can't pay it back. In the ancient world, they didn't have bankruptcy. They would either put someone in prison, debtor's prison, until their family and friends raised enough money to pay off the debt. And this was common up in England up until the 1800s. If you've read any Charles Dickens, you know about debtor's prisons. In fact, Charles Dickens' father was subject to being in a debtor's prison. Or, here's the other way, they would be sold into slavery, along with everyone in their family, their wife and their children, would be sold into slavery to pay the debt. Well, this guy who's going to be sold into slavery asks for pardon, and the king, in his compassion and mercy, pardons this man. And he doesn't just say, you can pay me back later. He writes off the debt. He says, you don't have to pay me back at all. I just write off the debt. It's forgiven. Then you have the idea of this man going to his fellow servant who owes him just a little bit and having no compassion for him at all, having him thrown into prison until he pays back the debt. No wonder that the king was furious when he heard about it and had the man given over to the torturers until he should pay back everything. So if God will forgive us, we can forgive one another. But it's important that we're clear on what forgiveness means. Forgiveness is not having warm fuzzies towards someone. You know, when someone does something horrible to you, it is unnatural to feel warm fuzzies for them. And don't expect yourself to feel warm fuzzies for them. And don't come to confession and say, well, you know, this person beat the living snot out of me and I don't feel warm fuzzies towards them. Because, you know, that's not a sin. Forgiveness is an act of the will, just like love. Love is really not a feeling. It's something we decide to do. Forgiveness is what we decide to do, and we do forgiving things. And perhaps our feelings will catch up with it eventually, but perhaps not. What's important is if you don't return evil for evil, if you don't hold what the person did against you. Now, you can be on your guard against them doing it before. You know, someone punches you in the face 3 or 4 times, you know, it would be stupid to stand right close to them and let them sucker punch you again. And you might be ready to reach up and grab their hand. But what you don't do is do a preemptive punch back to get even. We don't have to be doormats, but we have to not return evil for evil. And really, in the long term, it's better for us, because when we seek revenge, when we look for revenge, all that does is keep us hostage and imprisoned to the evil that was done to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.